Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're going to do a special flashback edition of the show today to one that I did just almost exactly a year ago, and referencing Revelation 18:4 and the Come Out of Her part so that we can hopefully avoid the plagues. Yeah, I said back then, and it's still true today, the plagues are obvious. And as for the sins, if they weren't obvious before, they are now, now that Big Brother officially wants to kill kids age 5 to 11, and they've kept dropping that number ever since. And more people are waking up to the fact that, no, the poison poke really is appropriately named Zyklon B. If you weren't reasonably educated in the public cesspools, you know that Zyklon B was the name of the chemical that was used to dispatch so many people during the Third Reich. Now we're in the Fourth Reich, and it's only appropriate that since they intend to kill hundreds of millions rather than just a few tens of millions this time around, the Zyklon B moniker, I suggest, is still very apropos. And the more you learn about it, and we'll talk about a little bit of that today, the more it's obvious what it is we want to come out of and be separate from on so many fronts. Now, this week, of course, leading up to one of the major times and seasons in the pagan holiday, and I'll just say it this way. I've suggested in times past, years past, that the time to let people know that the real Mashiach, the real Messiah, no, his mother never really called him Jesus. That even didn't even exist for 16 centuries. The name that was given by the Malach, the angel, the messenger, was to call him Yahushua, because Yah is the salvation. He is the salvation of Yah. So the name actually meant something back when it was given, and it was not changed until centuries and centuries later. But still, the time to let people know that that real Messiah, even if they don't really know his real name, wasn't born in the dead of winter or on a pagan fake holy day, is during the time of the year when he really was born, I will suggest, which was almost certainly during the fall of the year, during the time of the one of the three feasts of Ascension, the time of Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles, as it was known. And don't try, in other words, to talk people out of something right while they're in the middle of the heat of deception. What I'm saying is that essentially, you know, save your breath and avoid the division, because probably it's not going to do anything. Now, if people are actually curious and they genuinely do want to know, it's always important that we be ready in season and out to give them an answer for the hope that's within us, for the truth that we know. And it's important we be able to do that from Scripture. But again, as a general rule, when somebody says Merry Christmas in a grocery store line, that's not the time to say, oh, you know, he wasn't born this time of year or whatever, just because for the most part, they're not looking for an answer. They just want an assent to the fact that, oh yeah, at least there are a few people out there that still seem to know what the season is about. And that's the irony, of course, is that they really don't know what the season is about, but they know at least as much as those people who hate everything that the God of the Bible stands for. So it's one of those heads I win, tails you lose things. And that's why I suggest the time to explain to people is not during the heat of deception, but when they're more likely to listen. And again, if they ask, that's great. And if they do ask, I'll do this briefly. I've done this so many times that I don't particularly want to spend much time on it, but it's a great introduction for where I do want to go today anyway. If you turn to, among other places, Luke, of course. Everybody's heard this, the Charlie Brown peanut special and so forth, but they usually don't start early enough. Because in verse 5 of the first chapter of Luke, talks about a fellow named Zacharias. He was a priest, a Cohen, and he was of the division of Abijah. His wife was named Elizabeth in the English transliteration. And what's interesting about this story is, if you understand and go through the book, and you can look in the book of Chronicles and see when the various courses of the priests, they were divided by family. And when were the priests of Abijah likely to be in the temple doing their regular service? And we're told in the book here that they were both righteous. They walked in accord with Torah. They walked before Yah. They were blameless and so forth. That sounds like a pretty good recommendation. And then later on, just a few verses later, we're told that Elizabeth had a cousin. And the mother of Yahushua, is told essentially that the Holy Spirit's gonna come upon you, the Ruach, and Your Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. Now is the sixth month for her. Okay, so the point is, if we can figure out and look through Scripture and realize that this time of the conception of the young baby that is going to be John the Baptist, Johannes the Baptist, was during the time of the spring feast, and there's a six-month difference between her and Mary, then we know that Yeshua was born about 6 months later. That puts his birth during the time of the fall feast. Again, during the time of Sukkot. That makes perfect sense because that would have been the time that the men of the land were going to go up to Jerusalem anyway. And it would have been a great time if you're a tax-grubbing emperor who wants to get as many folks as possible. You know they're all going to be there. When better to do it? And it also is a good indicator that when all the men were coming to that one city, why there might not be any room at the inn and so forth. So the point here is, not that I want to spend a lot of time going through all the details, but I do encourage folks at least to be able to have enough of a familiarity with the real story that you can say, okay, look, shepherds weren't out watching over their flocks by night in the dead of winter. He wasn't born in the dead of winter. The only people who were born in the dead of winter were the fake gods. Pick a name, Sol Invictus, Mithras. Typically, all of these fake pagan gods always born on December the 25th, right after the winter solstice. And there's more and more. The more you study about it, the more you realize that the pagans were the ones that put this in place. And those that are essentially buying into it are dealing with the fact that most of what they have is rooted in paganism. I always kind of marvel. People say, oh, you know, there's more suicides during this time of the year, more depression, more kinds of things going wrong. People, families, lots of stress, lots of pressure. You know the reason? Because Yah isn't in the celebration that has nothing to do with the actual birth of the Mashiach, and indeed there are other things we're supposed to celebrate, like his appointed times. So, with all of that on the table, I want to ask some different questions today that ultimately kind of sort of circle back to this issue, because if you understand what's going on in the other elements of the world, and you look and see, okay, we have tensions in Ukraine, tensions with Russia. China obviously wants to take over Taiwan. They're looking for an opportune time. They certainly have their man in the White House, their CCP plant, their big guy who they managed to shove in there. I want to start off by just asking a couple questions, and I think you'll see all of this begins to fit together. Is there a better time than right about this season, especially this week, between Xmas, the so-called Mass associated with any number of pagan gods, and New Year's, that's just basically the Roman New Year, not anything to do really with a scriptural basis at all. Is there a better time, though, for Biden's the Biden Fuhrer, the marionette-in-chief, and the CCP masters that are pulling his strings, those people that are destroying the U.S. military by literally turning it into a woke bunch of transgender worshiping ninnies who can't fight a war but can at least pretend to be pregnant and have flight suits for pregnant women because, hey, who wants to fight a battle anyway? We have more important things to indoctrinate our little servicemen about. Oh, yeah, and that's if they survive the poison poke that we've now injected them with. I can't help but think, folks, look at what's going on in Washington and ask yourself, and I've got an article that I did earlier in the week anyway, is the U.S. military even capable of defending the country anymore? More and more Americans are waking up and realizing, no, it's been dumbed down. It's been completely gutted from within. And now with the poison poke and any number of young servicemen likely to succumb from immune problems, autoimmune diseases, heart attacks, strokes, you name it. If I was the Communist Chinese Party, I'd be not only salivating, but preparing my next move. So let me just outline a couple more things. War is here. War is here. Now, does that mean that World War III is literally here yet? Or will we see the provocations over the next days or weeks? Certainly that's a very great possibility. But the war on the truth has been going on for a long time. You haven't been able to hear about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, other things that would have completely obviated the need for a vaccine, even if it worked, much less one that has no function other than to be the real poison poke, the real bioweapon that's now being deployed. The death of logic. The war on logic has certainly taken its toll. There's been a war on real science. We don't need data and evidence anymore. We just have pronouncements from I Am Science, the great high priest himself, Fauci, and other people that proclaim themselves to be the arbiters of truth. How many times have we seen stories about not just people getting axed from Facebook and Twitter and all these places, doctors losing their medical licenses for even suggesting that destroying your immune system in response to a disease that doesn't actually do that much harm to 99%+ of the population is kind of stupid. And there's a war on the word of Yah himself as well. All of these things go together. So let me say it again. If you're the Communist Chinese Party and you got your plant in the White House and everything is going pretty good, and you look and you say, okay, we ostensibly have some friendly relations with Russia. But on the other hand, if we were the sole superpower and didn't have to worry about Russia, that would be good. So now that we've got our man in the White House, how can we make that happen? Well, how about if we get the United States to fight with Russia? And while all that's going on and our man is trying to essentially deal with that, we'll go take Taiwan. We'll do what we want to do anyway. And maybe we'll get Australia while we're at it. I mean, there's a whole lot of tension in the world. Lots of things people aren't being told about, folks. But the single overriding fact that I can't help but think people need to be aware of is, can you literally think of a better time for Communist China to pull the plug on what's going on than right about now? And furthermore, we have an economic meltdown. That's also in progress. We have the booga flu, the Omicron. That's a really scary Greek letter. The Omicron variant coming out. It doesn't actually hurt anybody. Nobody really dies from it. Turns out those that get it are actually better off than those that take the poison poke, because after you recover from Omicron, which is pretty much a lead pipe cinch, it's the tickly throat variant, really, then you're going to have lifetime natural immunity. That beats the hell out of taking the poison poke every few months and more often in accord with Big Brother's whims. Oh, and having your immune system destroyed in the process. The only thing is that if you're among the unvaxxed, you know you're going to take the blame for everything that follows. And I've said this before. It's funny to me how these people that are oh so tolerant and they're oh so concerned with slavery, well, except for when they want to enslave people to their poison poke and their vax mandates and their complete economic control, well, they'll get really upset at people who even remember that there was once a word starts with N that you're not allowed to say anymore, and I'm not going to use it, but I am going to suggest that as opposed to the time when people had to ride on the back of the bus if they were of the wrong color, now you don't get to be on the bus. You won't be allowed to buy or sell. They're working up to all of these things. In other words, folks, what they intend to do, and we're getting there, is treat the new N-word, the unvaxxed, far worse, as bad as it was, than even those who were, you know, the great-grandkids of the slaves 50 years ago, 70 years ago. Blame the unvaxxed is just part of this war. And no, it's not just a culture war. It is, in fact, a moral war, and it is becoming a physical war. Not just in terms of China and Russia and a potential EMP attack or nuclear exchange or bioweapons attack, but a bioweapon self-immolation that is already in progress. Now, I'll ask one more question. I led with this, this idea that so many people are saying, did they take Christ out of Christmas? Well, remember, he was never actually in Christmas because he was not born at this time of the year, and that didn't even turn out to be a thing for centuries and centuries later when they had to basically make it up and take this pagan feast and force-fit it, shoehorn it somehow or other into things that could replace all of those, nasty feasts. They call them Jewish feasts. They weren't. They were the feasts of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He said it over and over. You can read the book. These are my feasts. Keep them throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. Well, they didn't. The pagan Roman Universal Church declared that anybody who kept the actual feasts that God said were his feasts must be Judaizers and therefore deserving of all kinds of nasty stuff. And they tormented, tortured, persecuted, and even executed many, many people in what was known as the Inquisition during the Middle Ages, to the point where people literally went to great lengths to say, see, I'm not Jewish, watch me eat this pig here, Easter ham, love it. No, I don't keep his Sabbath, I keep Sun God Day. To the point where so many so-called Christians don't even know why they've rejected things that the Bible says to keep, do throughout your generations and all your dwelling places forever, and replace them with fake pagan holy days that, yeah, sure as hell ain't holy, that God himself says he hates in no uncertain terms. Let me ask the question, okay, given what I've just tried to lay out, is there a better time that you can think of? Not only because, obviously, the use-by date for the Biden-Fuhrer has probably passed. How long are they going to be able to keep this puppet in office until people decide, oh, it's pretty obvious, we can't even hide the fact that he's senile anymore, he's an embarrassment. China's got to realize, well, we better use it while we've still got it. There's that. And again, I started to say this, let me finish the thought. Can you think of a better time to do this if you recognize that, guess what? Those who believe that God would never allow the United States to be taken out during the Christmas season may very well be gravely mistaken. In other words, folks, a lot of people are probably saying, oh, well, you know, they wouldn't dare attack. God would protect us during this wonderful time of his season, Christmas, but it's not his. And therein lies the rub. If he, in fact, has not declared this to be his appointed time, it's not a time when anything actually really happened and should be celebrated. Well, just maybe people don't have nearly the protection that they think they do. And again, all of it fits together. What am I suggesting here? I'm suggesting this is a time to pay attention, to be watchful. Obviously, always come out of her, be separate, be prepared. We'll talk about some of the other ways to do that here after the bottom of the hour break. But I want to mention this. Because ultimately, whether or not we see some really nasty stuff come down during the next week or 2 weeks, we might not see a market meltdown. That'll probably happen a little bit later because the markets, for the most part, are pretty well closed at this point. But could we see an EMP attack? Could we see a Russian tsunami bomb attack on primarily the East Coast, but both the coasts are vulnerable on that score? Could we see attacks by hypersonic weapons on various military installations, even on the United States mainland? All of those things are possible. So if we don't see an EMP attack or bombs or nukes on the horizon or an outright invasion from the communist Chinese troops that a lot of reasonable sources have said have already been poised on the northern border thanks to the communist up there named Trudeau, and on the southern border, thanks to, open borders and a complete invasion from the south anyway. If we don't see a power grid failure, what's happening in Europe? We've got natural gas issues and lots of people literally freezing over there. Well, then winter is still coming, to use that phrase from a popular TV show a couple of years back. Not only is winter here in the real sense, winter is here in a spiritual sense on so many different fronts as well. Certainly we have the debt implosion. That's been out there for years. It's been compounding and accelerating, and the idiots in Congress are simply pulling the chain and saying, come on, we double dog dare you. Take us down. We have a currency collapse that has been inevitable, but whenever it comes, it's getting closer by the day. We certainly have a continuing supply chain failure. And if we had any doubts that it was real, you need look no further than the Biden-Fuhrer saying, oh, supply chain failure? No, no, the shelves are just full. Why, look at all those cardboard cutouts there of products that we used to have that are now, if they're not sitting on ships offshore from Long Beach, they're in Chinese factories and maybe they'll make them for us later if we're good little slaves. The supply chain failure, folks, on multiple fronts is really real. And as I've suggested for a long time, and basically any economics class will reveal, a lot of these things take time to ripple through the system. We saw it, for example, months ago with new cars. If you don't have the silicon foundries, if they all come from Taiwan, which the Chinese have an obvious reason for wanting, and they're not delivering them, and they can't get here anyway, and then you can't produce cars for the want of a chip, then what? Well, it turns out there are a whole lot of other things that we're seeing that are also similarly being broken down. Manufacturing of, first it was lumber and various kinds of materials, thanks to the futures market. Not just chips, but things that, tractor parts, you name it. And these things all ripple through the system. And guess what? When tractors aren't available and farmers then can't harvest their crops and prices for used tractors go up and people say, well, I got these crops rotting in the field. I got to do something. The ripple effects are dynamic. They're really interesting and they can be hard to calculate. But the one thing we know is they take a while for these various tremors and earthquakes to percolate through the system. We're seeing that now. We're still seeing that. Where does it end up? Well, that's the part where it gets really easy. Ultimately, when the supply chain breaks down and people can't get parts, and there are a million possible ways and types of industries and supply chains and supply lines and various kinds of manufacturers that are going to see the ripple down effects, the knockoff effects, Ultimately, the result are several things, all predictable, all associated with the debt collapse, like inflation, then hyperinflation. They're already seeing the ripple effects of that in first places like Venezuela. Now we're seeing it in Turkey, it would seem, and some other places. And ultimately, of course, famine. And the famine will, in fact, spread to the United States, too. Scripture tells us this, but so does Economics 101 as these effects ripple through. So, again, as we go to the break, I'm gonna try to summarize where we started off today with this idea that, oh, yeah, this is a season of something. Turns out it's not a biblical holy day. It's not a scriptural holy day, although there's been a lot of attempt to force feed it into that, to force it one way or another and make people think that these pagan things are somehow in association with him. Now, am I critical of all those people who've been lied to? Jeremiah said it. We've inherited lies from our fathers. I do think it's important to realize that to whom much is given, much is expected. Once we realize the lie, now we're responsible for taking action about it. Okay, for those that say, oh, I never knew that a Christmas tree was a pagan thing. I don't really care. All right, fine. But once people begin to wake up to it and realize this is not pleasing to the Father, then we have a responsibility to do something about it. Oh, yeah. And, of course, remember, even if people are ignorant, well, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge is still true. There are a lot of people that are going to end up dead because they didn't know that taking the poison poke would destroy their immune system. They didn't know that this was not a time when they could expect Yah's protection. Why? Because he's warned them in 100 different ways, in 100 different verses, via any number of different prophets, and via warnings that have been, well, repeated throughout history. People that have been exiled, people that have gone into various forms of slavery before, for doing exactly the same kind of things that are happening now. So you put all of that together and you say, okay, well, that's where we are at a season where we know that there are a whole lot of nasty, ugly things on the horizon. The war is here. Has it gone hot and nuclear yet? No. Could it? Absolutely. But it certainly has gone hot to the extent that there are probably tens of millions of dead men walking. People who have taken the poison poke, though they don't want to hear that. But guess what? Doesn't matter whether they believe it or not, when their heart fails, when their immune system fails, when an opportunistic infection, when autoimmune diseases take them out, well, then they'll not, what will they do? They'll get angry and they'll blame what? The unvaccinated. And that's not going to necessarily solve anything. It'll just mean there are less people around to point fingers at those who aren't coming down with the same diseases that they have been signing up for and taking the booster pokes to make sure they get. Again, on every front, things are coming to a head. It's a time and a season to be especially aware, for all the reasons that I've been outlining, of what's here and what's coming. But what I want to do when we come back is talk about some other, well, let's call it advanced weaponry, that those who know better, that those who do have eyes to see, need to be aware of, so that just maybe, if there are some friends and relatives who have not yet taken the poison poke, they have not yet completely destroyed their immune systems, hey, maybe they took the poison poke and were blessed enough, protected enough to have gotten the placebo shot. A whole lot of people thought they were taking one or two doses, and they probably, maybe if they were blessed and lucky, I don't like the word lucky, but you get the idea, maybe they got a little bit of saline instead. Maybe their immune system isn't quite as destroyed as by rights it ought to be. Well, that's a good thing. It means there's still time. It means there's time for them to wake up and to get right and say, okay, I won't kill myself anymore. I got away with spinning the revolver chamber, and I want to put another bullet in the chamber and spin it again and point it at my head. I'll quit while I'm thankfully not destroyed yet. And then what? Well, that's the place where we need to say, okay, we have some things we need to be aware of, some things we need to be blowing the shofar about, being the watchman on the wall about, and preparing for. As you know, one of the ideas of preparation in both a spiritual sense and a physical sense is to be able to help those who haven't figured it out yet, hopefully, prayerfully, will figure it out in time to avoid the destruction, the physical destruction of their bodies, and then all the other destruction that follows after that. So we got a lot of things we need to be aware of, and so many things that we need to be concerned about and understanding how to come out of. So when we get back, we'll talk first about some of the great big stinking whopping lies and why knowing about them and doing something about them is more important now than ever. We'll be right back. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. Tell me over and over and over and over again.
much on religion, but I sure enough just fell down on my knees.
We are back, folks. This is the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and today we're talking about a number of things that are associated with, well, the times that we find ourselves in. And I'm not referring to the so-called holiday season, because honestly, these days aren't particularly holy to anybody except pagans. And while a lot of folks will I'm sure they'll get very angry at that. Nevertheless, if you go and understand what Scripture says, so does Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, so does the Creator. He gets very angry at people saying, hey, we're going to worship you, whether you like it or not, the way we want. And he says, well, if you look at history, you'll find out that doesn't work. Okay, let's just leave it at that. But I do suggest people need to understand, therefore, that during these times, there is a huge risk on any number of fronts, economic, physical, not just spiritual, certainly in terms of the poison poke and the things that are being done to kill hundreds of millions of people. Unlike anything, and you got to admit this is true, the evidence is now overwhelming, unlike anything we've ever seen before. So with that in mind, I want to throw just a couple of other things out on the table. This takes the form of ammunition that those who really do understand why it is that you don't want to be a guinea pig for an injection that is intended to destroy your immune system. Aren't you pushing disinformation, misinformation, Mark? No. The lie is that they actually have anything in mind for you except trying to kill you. Oh, yeah, and your mangy little dog, your kids, too. So here is a story from Martin Armstrong. Makes a couple of good summary points that I just want to throw out, because they kind of reveal other things that we've been lied to very succinctly. Masks, for one, right? The face diaper, the rebreather petri dish. Well, the World Health Organization, WHO, has previously admitted that there is no evidence whatsoever available to indicate that masks do anything positive. They're not an effective method of protecting healthy individuals. In addition to hypoxia and hypercapnia, in other words, a lack of oxygen in your bloodstream and an increase in carbon dioxide because you're rebreathing your own exhaust gases, breathing through face mask residues produce bacterial and germ components on the inner and outside layer of the face mask. These toxic components are repeatedly breathed back into the body, causing self-contamination. Now, that's a quote. From who? You're not going to hear that, folks, from the lying waste stream media that tells you, oh, wear your masks, you good little slave, because if you're stupid enough to do that, we know you're already primed to take the poison poke. We're not going to tell you the truth about that either. Furthermore, says the story here from Armstrong, there's actually evidence that face masks cause toxic particles to build up within the mask. Gee, it's easy. Just culture the crap that's inside there in a petri dish, as if the mask wasn't enough of a petri dish by itself. Rebreathing contaminated air with high bacterial and toxic particle concentrations, along with low O2 and high CO2 levels, continuously challenge the body and its homeostasis, causing self-toxicity and immunosuppression. Now think about that. You get people to wear these damnably idiotic masks. A, it shows you who those are that are drinking the Kool-Aid, but B, it challenges the homeostasis of their bodies, causing self-toxicity and immunosuppression. Well, guess what? Bang, bang, the 1-2 punch. Now we'll inject you with a poison poke that also causes immunosuppression and really hits you when you're down. Is it any wonder that booga, 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 the Omicron variant and other variations on the theme that have been engendered, literally bred in the massive numbers of people taking this poison poke, are spreading through the human population like crap through a goose? To paraphrase General George S. Patton. Conclusion. Again, this is the last I'll read from this Martin Armstrong piece. There's no evidence that masks are effective in any way against the transmission of COVID-19. However, there is much evidence that wearing masks is toxic. All right, here's another quick story. This is actually from Associated Press and a piece from LouRockwell.com. Is it time to burn the anti-vax doctors at the stake? This seems to be the thing that Associated Press is pushing. These are the purveyors of misinformation and disinformation. How dare these doctors say, don't inject your pregnant wife with something that'll kill the baby? With a very high degree of probability, as a matter of fact. Turns out, now this is why the numbers here are interesting. The infection rate and the age groups, if you look at these tables or charts showing rate of infection in various age groups and how many of them are going to suffer if they were to catch the dreaded booga booga flu, turns out that anybody, 99.9% of all Americans younger than the age of 69, that's most Americans, certainly all of them that are younger than the age of, Social Security and below, developed immunity on their own. They don't need to be vaccinated, even if the vaccination worked, and it doesn't, even if it didn't destroy your immune system. Natural immunity, in other words, the kind you get from having had a disease because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and once you've had it, your body knows what to look for, so you don't get it anymore. Natural immunity is far safer and trumps vaccination. Now, guess what? Here's the part they don't tell you. This is a great line. The idea of a vaccination requires a functioning immune system. Remember when vaccines actually meant what they used to mean? In other words, you take a little of the hair of the dog, you kill a deadly virus or a something that you want to get the body to respond to, you weaken it somehow, then you inject a little bit of it in there, the body sees it and develops antibodies to it and says, oh, when I see that again, I'll take it out. Well, this doesn't work that way. That's why this thing is not a vaccine. But the point is, if it destroys your immune system in the process, well, nothing works, including a real vaccine. And that's the point. And it's ironic that these so-called doctors, and I use that term with derision and scorn, that are telling us that natural immunity is no good, are lying idiots. Because if they had any actual medical understanding, they'd know the whole point of a vaccine was supposed to be to trigger your natural immune system into responding. That's how it works. Well, that's how it's supposed to work. No, what the new ones do is they change your, via mRNA, they change your DNA to produce the spike protein in mass, turning you into a little human bioreactor. Back to the chart here. According to the chart, says the author, almost 3 in 1,000 children were infected. And there's a bunch of zeros, 0.000027, or 27, no, I'm sorry, let's get the decimal point right, it matters, 2.7 out of 10,000 died from the booga booga flu. Now, most of those, as it turns out, the vast majority even there had comorbidities. They were suffering from leukemia or childhood diabetes or any other number of opportunistic infections. And it was the 1-2 punch that got them. They died, in other words, not from COVID-19, but with COVID-19. But still, even with those numbers, 9,997 kids, and by that they mean age 0 through 19, had to be vaccinated if it worked, in order to save even one life. That's theoretically, because they just wouldn't have died otherwise anyway. That's less than, well, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. Now, guess what? The chance of anyone benefiting from COVID-19 RNA vaccinations is thus nil. Why? Because you didn't have anything to worry about to begin with. If the serious side effect rate from the vaccines is higher than 50.27, which it is, that represents avoidable harm. In other words, folks, let me say this as clearly as I can. People are far, 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 far more likely to die of something or have serious side effects from something associated with the poison poke than they ever would have from saying, I'll take my chances with the booga booga flu. Nobody is dying of vaccine deficiency. And the few who do develop life-threatening infectious diseases can be treated with things that, oh, Big Brother doesn't want you to know about because they want you to be afraid, be very afraid, like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D, a whole bunch of other far better choices. Now, the problem is, if they had allowed people to know about those things, like honest countries did with their citizenry, there would have been no excuse for an emergency use authorization to begin with. That's why they lied and suppressed those and made darn sure that anybody that tried to tell people about it lost their medical license or were banned from two Facebook and Twitter and basically just were put into a living hell on earth by Big Brother. And the vaccine effectiveness is misleading. That's obvious. They don't tell you about the fact that you might take the poison poke and not die of COVID, but hey, how about a heart attack? How about you have a stroke on the highway, cross the center line, or take out a whole bunch of people, vaxxed or not, in the other lane? There's a chart that appears in this article, too, of all deaths associated with all. That means every single vaccine available for the last 30 years. And if you look at the chart, it looks kind of like a single spike. In other words, from the year 1990 through 1999 through 2010 through 2019, basically very, very, very few people died from vaccines. Turns out there were more people dead in the first 90 days from the poison poke. They didn't tell you about that. They don't want you to know about that. They were trying to hide that till 2075 or so than ever died from all other vaccines combined. Matter of fact, you remember the infamous swine flu. They took that off the market when 50 people died. Well, hell, they killed that many in just the first month with a new poison poke and had to hide it. Lie about the figures. This is not just evil. As I've said in recent shows here, this is satanic level of evil. But I'll say this again. Without an intact immune system, if you destroy the immune system, even if the vaccines did work, and even if they were really vaccines, then they wouldn't work. As the author here says, it's natural immunity that's been making vaccines look good for a long, long time. So, where is the mandate to ensure a functional immune system with the use of supplemental trace minerals that your body needs, like, for example, zinc, which the body requires in order to make T cells, selenium, which releases zinc so your body can make those T cells, vitamin D, which is required to make neutrophils and macrophages, vitamin C, which makes natural killer cells, and your other things like white blood cells that your immune system needs. There is sufficient science, and I use that word in the actual true sense, to recommend that these natural remedies would just as soon you didn't know about. All right. The author here goes on to describe this other really nasty, evil organization that is supposedly fighting misinformation. What they really want to do is make sure you die of things you're not going to know what hit you. For example, this organization called De Beaumont said, quote, all three COVID-19 RNA vaccines have been proven to be, say it with me, folks, repeat the mantra, safe and effective, based on extensive clinical trials. Well, trials that didn't include all the things that they skipped, like animal testing. You remember the old joke, it's a meme, where the two rats are talking, lab rats, and one of them says, hey, did you get the COVID-19 injection yet? The other said, no, they haven't finished the human trials yet. Well, these are the so-called clinical trials. Back to the story here. Here's the bottom line. Why would anybody in their right mind even consider being injected with an experimental, 40 trillion or so RNA particles that cause your body to make the spike protein, when that is how coronaviruses, in fact, enter living cells? Why would anyone want all the cells in your body wide open to ACE receptor site to a notoriously mortal virus? It's a good question. And furthermore, if you love your kids, why would you allow them to be injected with something that might kill them in order to allegedly but not really protect them from something that ain't going to harm them at all? You'll probably never even know they had it. As a matter of fact, they may have even had it already and you didn't know it. But now you'll destroy their immune system. When they get it next time, it might just kill them. Here's a quick one from Brandon Smith at Altmarket US. Why do people not trust the science? Answer, because they've been lied to so often by scientists who are whores to Big Pharma and Big Brother. Many scientists have been caught lying, misrepresenting their data to force fit the conclusions that they're supposed to get rather than the actual facts at hand. Science has been publicized, politicized, and literally whored out to serve an agenda. This is not conspiracy theory. This is proven fact. And literally, folks, the amount of facts that make that up are the kind of things you're never going to hear in the criminally negligent networks. But if you'll do just a little research, you'll find any number of doctors that have been shunned and banned who have been trying to, blow the shofar on this one for a long time. One last quick story on the vaccine issue specifically. This is from Larry Johnson via... I think this was LouRockwell.com, but he says, why it is that the stupidity of the pro-vax crowd is unbelievable. And I'm going to say this up front. I'm tired of doing all the stories about dead celebrities and dead athletes that have died after taking their required mandated two poison pokes plus the booster, let's kill the immune system off completely injection, as well as a whole bunch of Zyklon B pandering, fully poked politicos and overpaid Big Pharma whores. Right, Saturday Night Live, evidently Saturday Night Live, didn't do the Saturday Night Live show recently here. Executive producer Lorne Michaels, that's been doing it for the better part of half a century, had been reportedly trying to hold on, make the show happen, but an insider at SNL told the Post that everyone is fearful here. There's the key line. Everyone is fearful here. We've all taken the poison poke, and we're scared. We're scared to death. The show is now in its 47th season. They announced last Saturday that they would not do a live audience for this week's taping as coronavirus cases have spiked and set records in the People's Republic of highly vaxxed New York City and beyond. In spite of, no, because of the Zyklon B poke. Okay, the government, due to the recent spike in the Omicron variant and out of an abundance of caution, and besides, we're scared out of our, well, very few wits, there's no live audience. The show continues to follow all government safety guidelines. Yeah, there you go. Talk about a damning indictment, says Johnson, of the ineffectiveness of the Zyklon B poke, the so-called vaccine and boosters. Every member of the cast and crew were vaccinated. If the vaccine even remotely worked, they would have had nothing to fear. After all, a vaccine is supposed to make you immune. Well, if it didn't destroy your immune system. And yet these NBC morons, consumed by fear, immersed in ignorance, did everything short of running from the NBC studios, screaming in terror. I'll read this line from Dr. Mike Yeadon, one of the good guys. He wrote a cogent explanation of exactly what's going on here. These are the kind of things I encourage people to know, be able to explain to your relatives who are basically saying, oh, I've got the revolver in my hand. I'm going to put another bullet and spin the chamber. Take that booster shot. Don't do it. And, you know, once you're dead, it's a little bit too late for me to say I told you so. Here's Dr. Yeadon. Calling the COVID-19 injections a vaccine is public manipulation and misrepresentation of clinical treatment. It's not a vaccination. Well, we all know that. It's not prohibiting infection. It's not a transmission-prohibiting device. It's a means by which your body is conscripted to make the toxin itself that then allegedly your body somehow gets used to dealing with, but unlike a vaccine, which is intended to trigger the immune response, this is to trigger the creation of the toxin. mRNA uses the cell's machinery to synthesize proteins that are supposed to resemble the spike protein of the booga booga virus, which is what it uses to enter cells via the ACE2 receptor. These proteins are then identified by the immune system, which builds antibodies against them. Well, while it works, anyway. The real concern is that these proteins can, and as it turns out we now know, they do accumulate in the body, especially in regions of high concentrations of ACE2 receptors, such as the reproductive organs, isn't that convenient, the lungs and other places. If the immune system then attacks the location where they accumulate, then you could be dealing with an autoimmune condition. Think all kinds of paralysis and similar things. Now, and that doesn't even include, folks, the chemical effects of a two-dimensional carbon graphene-based compound that tends to slice up the interior linings of blood vessels and capillaries and stuff. And guess what? Results in clots and other things that are difficult to determine in an autopsy because most toxicologists expect something that's reactive. They don't expect a physical, degradation of the body's epithelial cells that line your blood vessels. They're looking for something chemical that might have poisoned people and caused them to have a heart attack, not just the fact that they clotted from within and croaked. These spike proteins, in other words, are a really, really bad thing, and people are being programmed to produce them. Says the author here in conclusion, you need to be equipped with knowledge about what these not vaccines, these fakes, really do to your body. None, not one, has proven effective in preventing any jabbed person from being reinfected. None. But I'll add this, they do make for a great walking, talking, breathing, spike protein spreading petri dish or human bioreactor. Now, I don't have time to do this last story, but it's kind of an interesting take here. This is Tom Luongo. I'll just give you the article itself. I never saw the movie that he's talking about anyway. It's called Mad Max Fury Road. So, you know, that part of the story kind of left me cold anyway. But what he says is an entire generation has now been scarred by this manufactured apocalypse, and there's no going back, let's face it, to the way things were. Conditions were ripe, and they were set up for those in power to take maximal advantage of fear, right? We saw it with Saturday Night Live. Booga, booga, booga from COVID-9-11. And they did so enthusiastically. Thankfully, though, we still have at least a little bit of understanding of our own history. And those in charge have decided to do something which is even more cartoonish than the world of Fury Road in an attempt to erase the world as we knew it. Today, the world is in the hands of the woke left. And that means the destructive and vindictive feminine. And I'm going to put that word in quotes there. It's not feminine, folks. It's anti-feminine in every real way. Has been elevated to the point of unimpeachable rightness. This isn't any kind of healthy feminine, however. There's a character named Furiosa. It's like her, he says. Devoid of nurturing. And that's the thing I want to make a real mention of in the last couple of minutes. Devoid of nurturing. Even sexuality suppressed to the point of nothing but masculinism left. In our world, feminism has robbed women of the greatest feminine attribute, the ability to gestate, to nurture life itself. Hollywood has now spent two generations giving us female action heroes who are ultimately nothing more than dudes with boobs. And ultimately, it's I'll go a step further than the author does. It's a complete rejection of the biblical understanding. Male and female, he created them. And they hate it. You can see it. They demonize the very concept of patriarchy, of masculine men, and so forth. The very idea that there should be a God-ordained order to a family, and that he put things in place and gave us instructions about our bodies and ourselves and how families are supposed to work and how children are supposed to be nurtured and what roles men have and what roles women have for a reason. Essentially, what the story here is saying is all of that has been destroyed. It's been destroyed deliberately, and we're reaping the really ugly, bitter fruit of that all over the place. He goes on to say, hey, you know, you could talk about the risk assessment destruction in capital markets, too, the creation of new money through debt. In other words, all kinds of things, the scripture says, are abomination to him and carry their own curse. But on every front, we're seeing it. I like this line. It's fear of living that drives people to become cheerleaders for tyranny, to love their muzzles, their poison masks, their Zyklon B injections. They proudly display their vax cards. They fetishize their subservience to an authority that, let's admit it, wants them dead. Good news for you folks, there's a barbarian in the room, and it ain't the unvaxxed. And the push now is to take from the heretics to the COVID-19 death cult all that is left of the old world and replace it with something truly satanic. This scares them. And here's how he puts it, and I like this. This is the way that I'll end. If we don't stop pining for the world that was and accept what we now have and recognize the solution, right? Return. Make teshuva. Return to him. To the real God, not a fake one that was born on December the 25th that turns out to have been pagan long, long before the year 0 AD. We got to return to the real stuff, the things that he says are real, the roles that he gave us, the instruction that he gave us, the rules for living on this planet that result in blessing and not cursing. Well, if we don't do that, and here I agree with the author, there's no hope of fixing anything. And that's the real point, folks. That's the thing I want people to understand. We have been lied to on so many levels. What is money? Who is the real creator? What did he write for us? When was he born, for crying out loud? Not that that matters that much, but it does matter that we know his character. That he was the Torah, the Word made flesh. He never did away with his own law. He pointed out how it is you guys have replaced it. You have called that which is evil good, and we're still doing it. And that is at the root of everything that's going on now. It's the reason why I suggest understand. We are coming to a real cusp. I don't know whether there's going to be a massive destruction in the next week or the next 2 weeks, but I know this. A, scripture tells us. B, economics tells us. C, simple physics, chemistry, biology tell us that all of these things are coming to a head. You cannot ignore science. You cannot ignore facts. And more importantly than all of that, you cannot ignore the Creator himself and his word for as long as we have and expect anything except exactly that which he has been promising for so long. His justice cannot sleep forever, said Thomas Jefferson. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I remember that, and that Elohim, God, is just. Yeah. His judgment won't sleep forever. We better wake up to that while we still can. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.